Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Now, you know, we have a choice as a nation. Do we want to build upon our greatest mistakes? Or do we want to build on the tremendous successes that we've had? Because the two lead to very different places.
Your salvation and my salvation is based on grace by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel that Dr. King preached throughout his life.
The truth is, there are terrible things in our nation's past. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young sits down with Dr. Ben Carson for a very special discussion about critical race theory. Dr. Carson will examine the roots of this ideology and how it tries to keep America stuck in our past mistakes. Don't go anywhere, that's coming up. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Created Equal.
Today, my subject has to do with the critical race theory that you find in the woke world in which we live. This week, Dr. Ben Carson, most of you know who he is, probably one of the greatest neurosurgeons who's ever lived, a candidate for president, served in the cabinet, director of HUD. He was on campus because he is writing and presenting with his group a curriculum for schools that will deal with patriotism and with faith. So he was here with our head of school and others as we look at that. In the process, Dr. Carson has been a longtime personal friend of mine, he and his wife, Candy. I've been in their home, they've been in my home, so that's a prized relationship. So I knew in one of his books he had written about the critical race theory. So I brought Dr. Carson, his wife, here, and we stood together, and before camera, I interviewed him, and I asked him to say in understandable terms what the average person would get and understand about the critical race theory. So here is that brief interview with Dr. Carson. So Dr. Carson, give us a workable, homespun definition of the critical race theory so everybody understand it.
Well, we talk about this quite a bit in our book, Created Equal. It stems from critical legal theory. And critical legal theory says that our whole legal system was set up to preserve white superiority, right? White supremacy. And critical race theory is then becomes a subset of that, and it's meant to make sure that the racial hierarchy is maintained with whites on top. And it really talks about some of the pretty awful things that happened in our country. You can't deny that there were some terrible things that happened.
Absolutely.
But it then utilizes that to try to create a platform to build upon. Now, you know, we have a choice as a nation. Do we want to build upon our greatest mistakes? Or do we want to build on the tremendous successes that we've had? Because the two lead to very different places. And, you know, critical race theory would have our children and dividing themselves, you know, making white kids feel guilty because they're oppressors and all of their relatives are oppressors, making black kids and minorities feel like they're victims. And, you know, it's probably the worst thing you can do to a person is to make them think they're a victim. Because if you think you are a victim, you are one.
That's exactly right.
And that is really hurting a lot of the progress that has been made. I mean, in my lifetime, the country has changed dramatically. I mean, dramatically. I remember as a six-year-old going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and seeing the whites and colored signs and... And I remember the adults saying, make sure you observe those. You don't have to do that when you get back to Detroit. But Detroit was a whole nother different type of racism. But that was as a kid. And also when I was a kid, when a black person came on television in a non-servile role, it was a big deal. You called everybody into the living room. Hey, look at this. I mean, this was incredible. Now, look at today. Black generals and admirals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of foundations, Ivy League presidents, president of the United States two times, a vice president. I mean, the list goes on and on. That's in one lifetime. So to say that we have a system that doesn't respond and doesn't change is totally inaccurate. And if we were a horrible, systemically racist place, why would people be trying to form caravans to get in here? And when they got here, wouldn't they call all their relatives and friends and say, don't come here, this is the worst place? No, that's not what's happening, is it?
But tragically, what we see today through these years is not the whole story of America and the African Americans that we brought over here as slaves. I watched a little bit of the Alabama-Texas game. I will not mention that I went to the University of Alabama. I've kept that quiet. But yesterday, by the way, most of you know I love history. I majored in history in college. My particular love was American history. But yesterday I went back and I looked at 400 years of life in America for the African American who was brought over here as slaves. I sort of knew all that, but I didn't have any concept of the length of the bigotry, the prejudice, the inhumane way Americans treated fellow human beings made in the image of God. It's called chattel slavery, as if they were animals and not human beings. So we have to remember the length of all that. I put sort of a little scale up here a little bit so you can see some of this. The Declaration of Independence, 1776. Emancipation Proclamation, 1863, when President Lincoln, by executive order, right in the middle of the Civil War, and the Civil War, you say, it was about states' rights. Yes, that was a little bit, But the major emphasis of the Civil War, I am convinced, was over slavery, the legitimacy of slavery. Because if you know your history, slaves first came over here in 1619, and I do not buy the 1619 phony history. That's not what I'm saying. But they came with the settlement of Jamestown, the Massachusetts Bay Company, and they came primarily for profit and for gold. A little later, we know about Plymouth Rock when pilgrims came because they loved Jesus and they wanted to worship freely and independently in a new land. So a totally different ballgame. But in Jamestown, the secular invasion of our country, they brought with them slaves, first slavery in our history. And then we know from that moment, listen, roughly 250 years, just hold on to that number, 250 years we treated fellow human beings made in the image of God as if they were animals and sometimes worse than we treat our own animals. That's the truth. And I realized the length of that and the shame of that and the evil of that. And then we go down the timeline, Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil Rights Act passed by Congress in 1964, and there's been all the way through this something like 400 years. Dr. Martin Luther King began his public ministry in 1955, a graduate of Morehouse College. He'd earned his PhD there in Boston. And then we know he begins his public ministry after prayer, knowing that the only way for his people to be a part of the American dream. The Constitution was written by wealthy men, intelligent men, supposedly God-fearing men, but 8 out of the first 12 presidents of the United States were slave owners. They were slave owners. Now, you can build all kind of little anonymous, how people treat their slaves like family and all that, but it is brutality and is evil any way you look at it. And now we see Dr. King came, and through prayer, he decided to bring about a revolution different from any other revolutions, except maybe when Mahatma Gandhi, through pacifism, liberated India from the British Empire through nonviolence. Dr. King took that path. It was dangerous. It was deadly. And he began through those years to do things, to say things, always in a biblical Christian context. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. And then we know the development there. He gives his famous I Have a Dream speech, 1963. The Civil Rights Act passed by Congress. And now we have, 300 years, 350 years gone through this process where there was division, there was racism. Not systemic racism, that wasn't the heart. It was an ignorant, godless, evil racism, my complete opinion. And then when this was act from 1964 to 1968, that's when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. I submit to you that along with Billy Graham and maybe internationally, Winston Churchill, Dr. Martin Luther King was the most influential individual in the 20th century by far. He saved America. He preached the gospel. He was indeed a great man. Martin Luther King speaking at Southern Methodist University 2 years before his assassination, 1966. He said, a doctrine of black supremacy is just as dangerous as a doctrine of white supremacy. God is not interested in freedom of black men or brown men or yellow men. God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race, the creation of a society where every man will respect the dignity and worth of personality. Dr. King, a couple of years before his assassination at SMU. So I submit to you that we're proud to be American. I'm proud to be American. Well, we can't overlook this disastrous history. At the same time, I want you to look at where we're going today with this outline. This is the history of wokeness. The church is to understand they are white supremacists by nature. White Christians are called to repent of their whiteness and respect their inherent white frigidity. Fragility, that means our defensive reaction that we're white and we're not prejudiced. White Christians are told that they're guilty in the racist sins of their forefathers. Christians are urged to read complex realities and events through the lens of racism. For example, poverty, crime rate, shootings, educational disparity. The woke people would say it's all racism. Christians are told to see capitalism as oppressive, unfair and unjust. Various kinds of socialism is the preferred system. Christians are directed to add their voice to defund the police. Now, this is the doctrine of wokeism. I want you to see the outline of where we're going today, the total outline. Number one, woke history is defined by the color of your face. All important. The color of your face, says all of those in the woke agenda. What does that mean? That means, according to those in the left part of our United States, that if you were born black or some other color, that defines who you are, and you are, listen to me carefully, automatically a racist by being white. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you believe, where you've been, you are a racist by virtue of your birth, and more than that, and this is hard to believe, there's not a thing in the world you can ever do to repent and to convince anybody anywhere because you're white that you're not a racist. There's no redemption. You can be anti-racist, but you'll never reach the goal until you're still categorized like that. A leader of Black Lives Matter said, a matter of public record, anyone who waves an American flag, by definition, whomever you are, you're a racist. Everything is tragically defined by racism. This is the woke history is defined by the color of your face. How different that is from Dr. Martin Luther King's understanding of the racial challenges we had in America then, and we progressed a great deal, as Dr. Carson has said, but we still have some ways to go, but how far that we have come. You see, he would tell us, as we know, the color of your face doesn't determine your character and who you are, and really, you'll discover, doesn't say much about you and me. Did you know that all of our physical assets, ears, nose, mouth, body, make up 0.012 of who we are? Is that any big deal about you or about me? That color is all important of your skin? Go to Korea. Fly over Korea, and I am told that you see North Korea is totally dark at night. Go at night, it's almost totally dark, almost no light at all of North Korea. Go to South Korea, and there's lights everywhere. In South Korea, it's progressive, they're fluent, there's freedom, and arguably the most Christian nation on the earth. Go to North Korea, what did you find? The very opposite. You find the dictatorial leadership of a godless family. You find right is determined by might. You define a military enemy when people are starving. Education is practically non-existent, and they live almost as slaves in North Korea. You say, well, the difference is the color of their skin. The melanin. Well, you go to Korea and you see a North Korean. My goodness, the color of their skin and their eyes look so much like a South Korean. Have you noticed? But one country is in darkness in every way. The other country is in light in every way. The difference is not the color of their skin. The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. Woke history would have everything defined by the color of your face. Human history is defined by grace. The name Martin Luther King Jr. Who was Martin Luther? Martin Luther was a revolutionary who said, we're not saved by good works, and I'm better than you, and I do more than you, and God's going to rank us up there. He said from the passage of Ephesians 3 and many other places, your salvation and my salvation is based on grace by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel that Dr. King preached throughout his life. He said in a sermon shortly before he died that he hoped that people would know one thing about him. He genuinely loved everybody.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you recall those words from an old hymn? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That is true. We have nothing to bring to God. We know there are a lot of books about being filled, but one day I think I'll write a book on how to be emptied. When Christ wants to come and fill us, we can be so full of self, we're so narcissistic, so full of stuff and our own agenda, that there's no room left for him to fill us and put life in all of that. We have to first of all become empty, so that we can be filled. And the emptying begins with brokenness. We acknowledge that we are destitute in our own ability, in what we've done, or what we have, or where we've been. We have to become totally broken. Then we are ready for God to come and fill us up with himself. It is a supernatural event, ladies and gentlemen. That is the first step toward having a brand new life. Empty, empty. I pray every morning that God will empty me. Every night I pray that he will empty me. I surrender to him, and then I ask him to fill me. I'll tell you, that is the genius of Christian living.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give, to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young continues his conversation with Dr. Ben Carson.